Bissner?
Here.
Elwanger? Kozlowski? Needhammer?
Here.
Place? Ross?
Here.
St. Dennis?
Here.
For Kozlowski, did indicate he's going to be in Florida for this meeting, so question excuse.
I guess it would be now the appropriate time to say it, say it by the rules?
Mm-hmm.
Or not?
That's fine. You can.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be acted upon by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission staff or the public may ask if any items on the consent agenda be removed to be addressed immediately following action on the remaining consent agenda items. Such requests will be respected. The only item is the approval of the minutes from the December 17th Point City Planning Commission meeting. Look for a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Both same time? Motion carried.
Can we go back to number two and get a motion to excuse James?
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Motion to excuse James Evans, correct?
I'll second that.
Motion to support. All in favor?
Aye.
Close.
There it is.
The next item is passing of the gavel to Mr. Aaron Place, who is not the chair. We just approved the minutes from last meeting. Provided to have a hearing from the citizens present on non-agenda items.
Then let's do that.
Yeah, I'm Ted Maxey, Maxey Properties. I thought it would be a good idea to come in and see you guys just to kind of give you an update about the Jefferson Street project, kind of what's going on, what's happened, and kind of where I think I want to go with this. I talked to Scott in December, and he's going to come and see you guys on the 17th, and ran into a major health problem that I ended up having to go into the hospital, and so, but I am on the mend, and happy to be here. So, with that, I got approval for the rezoning, the conditional rezoning under the multifamily housing district in April of 2017. That comes due the latter part of April of this year. When I say that, I need to come in for a, I don't know if it's preliminary plat or not preliminary.
Development plan.
Development plan within 2 years of the approval of the signature date on the agreement. And so I'm right now kind of, I'm going to make a decision about what direction I want to take with this current zoning, or if it makes sense with some of the housing types I'm looking at, that it may make sense to come in for another type of zoning. If we decide that we're going to stick with the zoning that we have, then I would come in ask for an extension to the agreement, and I believe that would be with the...
would be amending the agreement and the city commission would have to
with the city
that.
Commission, they have to approve,
right.
Approve that. During my due diligence, since I got the rezoning, I've looked at a number of types of housing. I looked very hard at apartments and doing market rate apartments, as well as, once I got into the, running the equation of the market rate apartments, I looked at doing some subsidized housing, whether it would be through MISHDA or through USDA, which has a rural housing development type loan. And met with a number of companies that I looked at doing possibly joint venture partnerships with. One, Westwinds Construction, they're out of Traverse City. They're actually a Grand Rapids or Holland-based company doing two projects in Traverse City right now, Trailside 45 and Ridge 45. And talked to one of the principals of the company at length a number of times, and they looked at the numbers, looked at Boyne City, loved Boyne City, but their main challenge is trying to make money in Traverse City. They said it's very hard with the current construction costs, where they're at in development costs, and where their rental rates are at. And their rental rates are at a higher rate than obviously we are here in Boyne City. So they said at this point in time they're not interested in doing a joint venture on the project. Also spoke with the owner of Bear Creek Meadows, Scott Chappelle, and he looked at it for a while and just said it was getting more than he wanted to get involved with. Again, the challenge is construction costs and development costs. He said the numbers, be very hard to make work. I also talked for a long time with Wall Gas Corporation out of Saginaw. We were looking at doing a MISHDA development. Once we got into it, Michael actually talked to one of the guys I was dealing with and about whether or not the city may be open to doing a MISHDA deal. And that went fairly well. But once we got into the deal, once they started to look at the next three-year funding rounds, which is 19, 20, 21 with MISHDA, the money is being redirected more towards urban areas and being pulled out of the rural areas, which were considered rural. And the amount of money it would take to get into and try to even get into the funding round and fill out the application just didn't make any sense. So they backed away. Talked to USDA about their rural loans. Right now, there's just no funding right now for apartment development that there used to be, but just they said it's been kind of been dried up for the last 10 to 12 years. Also talked to a local business owner that's involved in the construction industry. Had five meetings with him and another gentleman that was brought in, a consultant that is involved in some multifamily developments. And they wanted to kind of prove my numbers out, wanted to look at it, put a different spin on it. Another set of eyes. So we ran through a pretty extensive pro forma, and once we got to the end, the same thing came apparent, that the construction cost, the development cost, 210 unit development would be about an annual deficit of around $400,000 a year. I at a market rate development. At the same time, I was looking at doing single family, detached single family homes, doing modular homes. I'm an approved builder through Richcraft. They're out of Jonesville, down by Hillsdale, and also General Housing out of Bay City. Became an approved builder. Kind of got into that whole equation, and once I started to look at the numbers and really drill down into things with land development cost and the building cost, even with modular, where these are built in a factory environment, but they're modular, they go on a crawl space or basement, My numbers got up into the 230, 250 on up. And that's not really something that I see that we need. I think we need houses down into that 150 level to service the market that really right now isn't being serviced. And examples right now of developments that are going with modular housing, there's one Peppervine off a Division in Charlevoix. There are 60-foot lots, water and sewer. They started in October. It's a Ritz-Craft home, 1,100 square feet, two-bedroom, two-bath house, one-car garage, a 60-foot lot, water and sewer, starting at $279,900, 1,100 square foot house. A three-bedroom home, two-bath, one-car garage, 1,250 square feet, so around $300,000 starting. And Windsong Woods off of Howard going into Petoskey. If you ever drive the back way into Petoskey, that was a kind of a defunct development that was bought by a developer out of Ohio and paid about $9,000 each for the lots. All the roads were in. Obviously, it's well and septic. Ritz-Craft Homes is doing that development. Those houses are in the 260s to 280s plus. And then off of Williams Road, going into Petoskey before you get the big box stores. That's a Champion Home development, modular. And those again are 250, 280, on up. And that's kind of what I was starting to run into. And I just don't know if I can do a development, do 120 lots, and build 250 on up houses, which then in a year or two, 3 years, are going to be three plus houses. It's not, in my opinion, servicing the market. So moving forward, now kind of what I'm starting to look at and really hard is manufactured housing. There's some great quality manufactured housing out there. It's not BOCA housing, it's HUD manufactured housing, which is basically, they don't like to use this terminology anymore, but it's a mobile home, mm-hmm. a double wide. But they're new construction, they're ENERGY STAR rated, they're beautiful homes. We're not talking about your 30, 40 year old, manufactured house. I become a member of the Manufactured Housing Association of Michigan, went to their convention in October, and saw a lot of awesome things happening in the industry. And so the direction right now that I'm taking is I'm looking at doing a manufactured home land lease community. Which would be a high-end, again, they don't like to use it. When I was at the convention, they're like, that was taboo. To use mobile home, they just don't like to use it anymore. They're trying to change the terminology in the industry. But these homes are well-built in the factory, ENERGY efficient, ENERGY STAR rated homes, and I can bring them into market at, in the 90,000 to 120 range, and do a development. I've looked at it somewhere in the 120 to 140 unit development. I'm meeting with AJR Development Homes out of Plymouth the end of the week. They're a big mobile home developer, and I'm using him right now as a consultant, and running through numbers, running through development numbers, the peer fees, so that I totally understand the equation. Because I want to make sure if whatever I do, I want to make it work. So that's the direction I'm moving in. And in saying that, Scott and I have talked a little bit about the zoning that I currently have on the multifamily. We possibly could make this work within that zoning, but in the agreement, there are a few things that may need to be looked at. One in particular was the conceptual plans that I showed that are part of the agreement that don't show exactly a manufactured home. And so that would have to be addressed. And then we'd have to all feel comfortable that we're not trying to jam a square peg in a round hole and moving forward with this existing zoning, and that we get to towards the end and we got a problem. The other thing, you know, I could do is come back for rezoning under the manufactured housing park zone, district zoning. And so I guess I'm looking for a little maybe possible direction or comments or any questions or not. But that's kind of where I'm at. And I put a lot of effort into this so far, and what I don't want to do is kid myself and get into something and then have it fail.
Another update is all over.
Can I give you a comment?
Yes.
I own a manufactured modular, double wide, whatever you want to call it, home here in Des Moines. Financing could possibly be a problem before we get that. I don't know if you've checked into that.
No, I have. And financing is becoming more and more. A company called Triad, and there's another one.
And insurances too.
Insurance there. They're really, the industry is really starting to address this, and actually they're trying to get some laws passed that under Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae to make it easier to get funding. Funding is now a lot easier, especially on new construction. You can get now, they're going up to 25-year ends. The amortization schedules back in the day, they used to be about 15.
Questions, Aaron?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Would your project be owner-owned, or would you rent everyone, or would it be a mix?
That's a good question. At this point, I'm looking at doing a land lease community to where
on all,
and controlling it, managing it, and
which is similar, I believe, to what we already have, is it not?
Yep.
Everybody in their homes, and they just lease the land at the lease land. But Ted's saying you also lease the home.
No, I think you know they purchase.
Oh, I'm sorry. Home. No, we're going to look at programs because they're doing it in Traverse City right now. Sun Development is, and where somebody can't qualify, they have programs with this Triad financing, where over 3 years you help them repair their credit, and then part of their payment over that 3 year period goes to their down payment on the home. It would be a lease,
okay.
A one payment, and that is. They're finding over in Traverse City and a lot of these developments around the country is you almost have to do both because some people just can't qualify. So you got to help them qualify. You got to help them get into some type of credit repair program and then get them into ownership of the property.
Then my second question is towards you, Scott. Would that be under multiple family with a land lease?
The zoning and the existing conditional use would not prohibit the what he's talking about. All we're going to look at is, are the minimum lots meet that district, and whether or not they're owned by you or someone else, that really doesn't matter. We're just looking to make sure each has its own lot per the ordinance requirements, and the density, it is already established. So that would really not affect.
In terms of lot width, which is in these new parks, these new developments, the guy that I'm going to meet at the end of the week, he's like, you really want to be no less than 50 foot wide.
Right.
because you want to give the owner of the home the ability to have a single car, double car garage. He said it's becoming almost a must. And so some of these developments, they're even these older developments, they're adjusting lot lines so they can accommodate.
Which the existing zoning would not, that's your, prohibit. You could do it.
Right. If we talk about going smaller lots, smaller, narrower, taller houses and things, but he said really in terms of marketing and new developments, people want the ability to have a garage, whether it's single car or double car garage for storage, really. It's more so storage.
So we've talked about this before related to the other concept, and would you anticipate designing in common areas and sidewalks and things like that to promote walking and bicycling versus...
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, all those things would be part of the development plan requirements already in the ordinance that would be required.
Yeah, and so yeah, Scott and I have talked, you know, you have, you know, 40% open space within the multifamily, but some of that can be put into your green space or your a lot around your unit. And what I want to make sure is that I don't go down some road and then we run into some problems with the...
Well, I guess my suggestion to you is if you have any design concepts of these modulars, perhaps bring them in, and then we can compare those to those approved design guidelines as part of the conditional rezoning and see, you know, how they work with those. And if they're, you know, not out of character with those, then I may need to get that amended to include some additional types of features. So,
because we're so close to Boeing, and I was talking to this consultant that I'm going to meet with, he said, you know, a lot of these developments now aren't doing these big community houses and things of that nature, and I don't know, you know, I don't think it's a requirement, but what you want to do is make a nice development, but make it cost effective so that we don't get into all of these, you know, do a nice landscaped entryway, sidewalks are great, and all of that, but to make sure that we're all on the same page so that the costs don't go so high where the development that doesn't work. If that makes sense.
So you're thinking with the home, you're going to be somewhere in that upper, well, around 100,000, 130, something like that, all said and done, yeah. If someone would come in and...
Right. Yeah. Even
option A,
even
or
down. Yeah. Even down into the into the 90s. All depends on the options. I mean, the houses that they had at the show, which was at Novi. I mean, they were decked out. So for $120,000, this is a 1,450 square foot Energy Star rated home with a beautiful front porch. You know, it's 8 feet deep by 30 foot wide covered front porch. Custom kitchen, all drywall, and then these homes, you do all drywall. It's an extra $2,500 to $3,000 to do it. And so the homes are all drywall, wood floors, tiled floor bathrooms, tiled showers. I mean, you walked into this house and you thought we were in a stick-built home. You know, totally customized with, really upgraded kitchens and I talked to Champion Homes. They are the largest manufactured, housing builder. And they right now have said we'd like you to be a Dutch representative. It's one of their divisions called Dutch Homes. And you can go on their site and under Champion Homes, and I mean you'll be amazed at what you see. This isn't some old, single wide mobile home.
Definitely come a long ways.
Yeah.
Sure. Would the intention to be a condominium association or?
Well, there'd be an association. It would basically be run just like it is over at Lakeview, right?
Yes.
I mean, they run that a tight ship. I mean, they, if you have anything out of place, from what I understand, I don't know if you live there now, but I have friends that live there. And they do a very nice job over there. And so you run it like an association, but you control, management controls. And if they're not abiding by the terms, then they can be fined or you take care of the problem and then charge it. Single story.
And Scott had mentioned, I think it's a really good idea, if you could bring in some sketches or...
Absolutely.
I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, but it's really good to compare it to what we approved to see.
Absolutely.
What's going on.
I can for sure do that. And I, at our housing solutions, I brought in some stuff and kind of divided up into groups and brought in some renderings and pictures and floor plans and saw, yeah, I can do that. I just kind of wanted to give you a little update and let you know.
Thanks, Ted. It sounds like it's been quite a trip so far. And I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
So I think the next step is just to take a look and see what these look like. I think that's a great solution. I think that
okay.
Well, the price point. Right.
I could probably put a whole package together for next meeting, if that, and I could probably get it to Scott sooner, maybe, than he could get it out to you guys, so you could have a chance to look at it.
Okay. All right.
And going on some of these websites and seeing, like, the Champion site, they have, I think, 5 or 6 different divisions. They get some really nice stuff. And the Michigan Manufactured Housing Association website is also phenomenal. And you can go on and see all the various houses, and you can see the show that was I went to in October, and it's some nice stuff. I was very impressed.
I was just looking, I couldn't resist, and they had something 1,600 square feet.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Is that what you were looking at?
Yeah, they had homes there from 14 to like 1,800 square feet at the show. Okay. Indoor, it was at the Suburban Collection Center over there.
Awesome. No, that's pretty generous, really, for that side of that kind of...
But what I'm trying to do is get into the market that's not being serviced. I don't want to build or try to skinny into a 225 or 230 or 250 and cater to a lot of out-of-towners that maybe... I could do that, but my concern, if I get 120 home sites, is finding enough buyers in that market.
Well,
I want to be forced into that.
How many in another exactly?
I want to get into the lower price range market.
Entry-level homes.
Entry-level homes. That are flawed. That
right. That have amenities and such. Yeah.
Does anyone on the board have any questions for Ted? I'll open up to the audience. Is there any questions they have to address the Ted? Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ted.
Are there any other citizens here for non-agenda items? All right. Let's move on to reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. Scott?
The Housing Solutions Committee, board, worker, they're anticipating having a meeting on February 15th. It's at 1 or 1:30. You have to double check that time, but the agenda is being worked on, and there'll be invitations out to a number of individuals that are looking at projects to kind of give a project update. I extended the invitation to Ted earlier, and I think he'll be there. So if anyone can come, it'd be definitely probably a worthwhile meeting.
Anything else, Scott? No. All right. Move on to unfinished business. Looks like there's none. Let's move on to new business. review of potential housing options for city-owned property. As part of the housing solutions discussion, the topic of city-owned properties has been brought up in the availability of city-owned properties that may be suitable for development. A couple of primary properties that we're focused on are over in North Boyne area, and Mr. Keene has been looking at these and negotiating with potential buyers for these properties, and we'll be looking at perhaps taking the city commission for their consideration, but Mr. Keene can kind of give us a little more detail on what is anticipated.
Well, good evening. Thank you. Happy New Year. As Scott has mentioned, the city has been for quite some time looking at whether we have surplus properties that we can put back in the market and put it back to use. As he mentioned, this kind of got sped up and dived a little bit deeper as part of the Housing Solutions Project. And just before the end of the year, at their last meeting, we identified about 7 properties at various locations in the community. And I kind of ranked them from what I thought were most realistic, easiest ones to do something with, to ones that might take some more work. And the 2 properties that are outlined in purple and in red on the map, on the screen there, kept coming back as probably the 2 lead properties that we could talk about. I haven't really been negotiating with developers, but we do have for each parcel at least 1 developer that expressed an interest in purchasing them and doing some residential development on them. Each of those parcels is on West Court Street. Each of them is about 3 acres in size. The purple one's a little bit larger of the 2 at about 3.15 acres. The red one, I'll just step up here closer to the screen. The red one is currently zoned MFRD, Multiple Family Residential District. It's next to the existing Lakeview Apartments, not to be confused with the manufactured housing community. And you are correct, they do not like to be called by that other name anymore. They call that directly by the managers of our local development. So this was property that the city purchased last year as part of the acquisition of property to expand future storage and recreational spaces with some possible housing options. This property was previously owned by Tim Moyer. And I was the lead person that expressed an interest in this is Bob and Pam Brooks, who own this building over here, possibly looking at expanding their site, either with buildings that match the existing ones or more townhouse-looking buildings, but they're looking at about 32 units in those areas. They're also talking about partnering with Jane McKenzie and Northern Homes or the at Northern Homes to possibly do something there. The other property is property just very close to that on West Court Street between Robinson and Escape Streets. This is a large dog park. The small dog park is here. The community garden that Pat maintains and has grown so well is right here. But one of the things that keeps making these properties look so potentially viable to put on the market is they have a lot of the things that have been holding up some of these other development discussions as Ted's been working on. They basically front right onto paved streets, and they have infrastructure, the water and sewer, storm sewer, things of that nature that are pretty much on site. Our wastewater superintendent, Mark Fowler, has reviewed the capacity of the systems here, and we believe we have plenty of capacity in our water and sanitary sewer systems to be able to handle the number of units that are being proposed here. We're also looking at this site as well. So while this is looking at potential rentals and maybe multi-family type housing, this site is being considered more for single-family type homes that is currently zoned community service district as part of the overall city properties that we own up there at this point. Its base zoning originally was a TRD, traditional residential district. And if we're going with single family, we'd have to go back to that as well, too. As Scott mentioned, I'm looking to take this to the, that it actually is on the agenda for the City Commission at their meeting tomorrow. What I'm recommending to them at that time is to allow us to put it out, these properties out to bids, which is the method recommended by our city attorney. We can set parameters on it. We don't necessarily have to go by the highest price that's received. We could look at what we feel is the number of criteria that we would establish, which is the best fit or the best opportunity for the city. And that could include things such as number of units, price points, things of that nature. So I just thought it was a good idea that we're getting potentially more real with regards to selling these and possibly developing these areas, to bring it to the Planning Commission, let you know what we're thinking of, get your feedback on it, and if you have any suggestions or opinions as we go forward. So we do have some representatives on this property at this location. The prime interest right now is from the One Area School District. But again, when these are going out for bids, anybody would be able to submit a package. We've had some people suggest, you know, we want to look at multifamily density at this area. We would see what developments or what proposals we received back. And based on the proposals we received, the City Commission would then have the option to sell those properties. And we could, as part of the sale, we could say, you know, I have to build on it by a certain period of time, or have some type of reverter clauses if things didn't go well. And then have it go forward from that point. I should point out as well, too, that back before I came to the city, the city's owned this property for quite some time. There's a lot of fill that's gone in here. There's some topographical issues as well, too. Those are all going to be explored and researched a bit further. There had been some discussion about taking Court Street and kind of making a north side of town bypass, so people wouldn't have to go to West Michigan if they're coming from the north side of town, basically in the townships. They wouldn't have to drive down to West Michigan and work its way back out to the Point City Charlotte Road. I personally don't see, and none of our traffic studies have shown that, or any reports have shown that we really have much of a need for a north end bypass at this point, or anything I can see in the foreseeable future. So I think that this property is, both of these properties would be good residential development. And both of these developers look like they're talking about being able to start early phases of it within a couple of years. So a fairly quick turnaround. As we've talked about the housing solutions, I think Boyne City is going to be looking at a number of different tools and methods to meet the housing needs going forward, whether it's manufactured housing, more rental facilities, more single family homes. I think we succeed when we have a nice mix of properties that are available for us. So if there's any questions I can answer, or if you do have some input or suggestions for us going forward, I'd love to hear it.
I have a question. Mike, one question about the Housing Commission and...
Housing Solutions?
The City
okay.
Housing Commission. And,
yes.
And the last, it was a year or two now since the last proposal was submitted for the Park Street area.
Yes.
Is there anything... Are there any new initiatives under consideration now for more housing from that area?
There is from that organization. There is not on that site that I've heard of. Jane McKenzie, the executive director of the Housing Commission, came and reported and provided her annual report to the City Commission a couple months ago. And one of the things that she talked about echoed Ted's comments with regards to funding availability. Even for the type of project that she was proposing earlier, that it just isn't there. We're hearing the same thing that Ted is with regards to a lot of the resources are being prioritized to larger communities first. So I don't think you're going to see anything by the Senior Center, at least nothing that I've heard of recently. I do know that Ms. McKenzie is looking at various options for other sites around the community and potentially doing something that can conjunction with the Brooks, Bob and Pam Brooks, not the Brooks Development.
Well, that's right.
For that site.
Yeah, that's why I was asking because you mentioned that.
Yes, there's a different funding source that would be applicable, that would make more sense on some options that she's looking at as over there than it did over at the other site as well, is what I'm hearing. But again, I'll leave those details out to them.
So there's nothing imminent. I mean, it's still a couple of years away for either one of those locations before.
And well, I'm thinking something would happen here much sooner than, again, I haven't heard any movement with regards to...
Do they have to pay the money out?
sorry, I can't hear what the other gentleman was saying.
The question was, is that, do we have to change the zoning for those? And it looked like the red one is fine.
Correct.
The purple one would have to be reserved.
Yes, that's what I was looking for, and we've gone back and forth on that the last couple of days. Scott's doing some research. As I mentioned in my brief overview, that property was originally zoned TRD, or the equivalent of it under the old zoning scheme. In about 2005, I believe it was, there was a rezoning behest of the city, I believe it was, to turn it into commercial community service district, because there really wasn't anything going on, hadn't been anything going on that property. And none of these discussions that we're having now were being discussed in 2005. With regards to needs for housing and shortages and all that type of stuff. So, I don't know if you want to speak to that issue or...
Yeah, I did the research on what the current zoning was, and I pulled the file on the previous zoning on it, and I found some discrepancies or deficiencies in the process. So I reached out to the city attorney and asked him, you know, what impact does it have on that zoning change? He indicated, since it's been in place for a long, long time, there is case law that says that zoning can stand, but there's also case law that says it could be reversed. So he recommended the best course of action is just go through the process properly, and if the city does want to rezone a portion of all that to some other district, then go through the process and do it the right way and take care of it that way.
So based on a conversation that Scott had with our city attorney late this afternoon, the answer to this gentleman's question behind me is yes, it would probably need to be rezoned if it's going to be used for single family.
Okay.
Are you talking about both of them or just the one?
Just one in purple, the one in red. Depending on what the proposed use comes back with regards to any proposal that we receive. If it comes back with a multifamily development, then it would be fine the way it is. If it's coming back for something different, it would have to go potentially for rezoning. We'd have to see what the proposal would be.
Does the city own the property to the north of what's highlighted in red there?
Yes.
That additional piece?
Yeah, we looked at that, and again, there were three purposes for why the city bought that property. The primary initial reason that got us moving on it was to make sure we had enough area for future needs for the DPW facility up here. If you've been up there and seen some of our wood stocks and things like that, it gets pretty huge sometimes. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't run out of room here. Two was the potential to possibly sell some of this property off for housing, because we didn't think that we were going to need all of it. The city commission walked a good chunk of this property last year, and I mean, there's some nice recreational opportunities as well here. There's some nice little creeks that go through here, and they back up to this pond here as well too. So there are some potential recreational opportunities. This land is pretty high and dry. It's a little bit more, it gets hillier. It's a little bit more challenging as you get along it. And at this point, we picked this line because one, we don't believe that it'd be needed for the DPW facility at all. And two, it does match the existing, that's basically the zoning district line as well too. So this is already zoned for multifamily residential. That's the lead indication that we've heard from people saying and expressing an interest with it. And to be candid, I mean, given the housing types that we have around here, its conformance with the master plan, I think, and I just like having the diversity of housing, some more potentially multifamily residential here, adjacent to an existing multifamily, more single family residential over here, and we have other scattered single family around that as well too.
I just thought of this, Mike. The purple, instead of keeping it all in one block, the upper level that's at the same elevation as the dog park, make that a separate piece, and then the lower part down where the garden is, which is more conducive to entryway to the DPW, you could still get 10 homes up above, and then you wouldn't have to mess with that steep hill that's been filled. You wouldn't have to relocate the garden. You'd have kind of a cute community garden as entryway into the DPW. I never thought of it until just now, but you, Any thought on that?
The some early schemes that I've seen on with regards to that site, that whole site show between 12 and 18 homes there. Before anybody built on it, I've heard discussions about having soil borings done because of the previous build that's there, and also looking at grading plans to have, to how to blend that all together as one common property. My recommendation was put it on the market and see what the market proposes back to us. And if that involves a split or something of that nature, there's always an option to look at that.
But you won't know until you put it out there.
Well, again, we won't know if there's, you know, how serious this interest is. I believe from the parties that we talked to that there is serious interest out there. I want to make sure we broadcast, if we're going to put this out to bids, that we get it out there in the development community enough so that, you know, if there are other people with other ideas, that they, you know, have an opportunity to nibble on that as well, too. So, again, all this will have to come, if we put it on the market, if the commission decides to go that route, it'll come back to them, and they'll have to decide if they want to go forward with any potential sale.
Yes.
Hi, Pat Little, Superintendent of Lane City Schools, Ken Chairs with me as the board president. Just wanted to let you know, Mike mentioned that the school district might be interested in the purple property here. We have spent a lot of time looking at it, and the reason we're doing it is we will need some property for our building trades home, our building trades program. Building trades program's built more than 40 houses in the city limits since its inception, and it's a very popular program. Next year we have our property purchased over on Pleasant Avenue already, and our concept is we're going to build two smaller houses rather than one large house. And assuming we have the kind of enrollment in the class that we're anticipating and things like that. But in the future, what would be nice, kind of our concept, is that we would buy a larger piece of land, like the one shown here, for example. That way we could not be sort of hunting and pecking for different little squares of land around the community, and we could do all of our infrastructure up front and divide the costs of that over the course of 12 houses, 15 houses, whatever it ends up being. So we see some value in that. So we've taken a really strong look at this. There's a lot of interest. It makes sense strategically for us. And it also is a way to, you know, provide consistency in that neighborhood. You put all those houses with a similar design and things like that, I think there could be some real positives. The property really does have some issues that we'll address if we were the lucky bidder for this, with the topographical issues. It's a real challenge. If you just leave the property like it is right now, you cannot fit the number of houses in there that you'd like to. There's also at one time there's designed a road to go through the middle of it that'll have to be dealt with as road. So there's some issues there with this property, but we're excited about the opportunities if that were to work out. But so I want to share the concept of what we're doing with our building trades. We have 24 kids in building trades right now. We hope to have at least that many next year, but we never know what kids are going to sign up for. And but if we do those kind of numbers, we hope to do two smaller houses for a while and see if there's a proof of concept, how the finances work, that work out, and stuff like that. But
we did talk to an engineering firm. One of their children would go to our school, so we offered to do just a quick thing to help us figure out. Because the biggest problem we saw with this was infrastructure. Water. He came up with a plan that was just like cut everything in half, like running it. We got that.
Mm-hmm. We can show it to him. Yeah, right. Scott.
We got Scott started?
No, Scott's, I think, has seen it.
Yeah, well, we ran it up, we run off, what is that, on the left?
Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson Street, right behind it, the auto lot, so we'd be able to tap into each one of those. We'd have to pay for the initial putting in those, plus the all the grading that had to be done, and they're willing to help us out so that we keep costs down by doing the planning for about half price. Mm-hmm. They do all the boring samples, they get that all set up, do all the topographicals and say, hey, this is what we should do, and help us even get bids for the major excavation. We do it all at once and then start going and putting houses. Our goal would be to have it all ready to start doing houses 2 years.
Two school years from now.
Not next year, but the year after, the September of 2021. always screwed up. Cracked scooters. And then we did there for, the planning kind of sold about 16 homes. Two bedroom, maybe three bedroom, where that's a part of the board trying to decide.
Absolutely. Does anyone on the board have any questions? Okay. Does anyone in the audience have any additional questions for Mike? Michael?
You know what works.
All right.
Any other, questions, any other suggestions or comments? As this moves along?
Are you looking for a recommendation from this?
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, if the board wanted to make one, the commission, wanted to make one, that's fine. I know that this is their first blush at it, and it may be premature for a recommendation. If there's a rezoning that comes forward, you would obviously have a second look at it again, and we keep you apprised on anything that goes forward. But I just want to make sure if there's any serious concerns or you think it's a great idea or whatever, if there's any feedback, that'd be appreciated. I can share that.
It was very well thought out.
I think it's a great step in a good direction. This is the but just, I think personally, I'd like to just kind of think about it a little bit more.
Sure.
I think that would be nice.
Okay. Well, if anybody has any thoughts, we do have a city commission meeting where they're going to start discussions on this tomorrow at noon. My number is 582-0377. You can, if you have a thought in the middle of the night or something, feel free to give me a call.
For question that we have, though, are there any other properties? Do you say all these, what were there, how many, 12?
I ended we looked at about 7 altogether. These are the ones that are probably the ones that most likely, most viable to move forward quickly.
But others could be available for purchase, potentially.
Potentially.
People.
I mean, like, we have a piece of property on East, a couple of pieces of property on East Main, but that can only have maybe like one or two houses on it. These are the only ones of any really with any substance or capacity for multiple units that I think can turn around fairly quickly.
And then, Ken, this also gives an opportunity. If this starts to work out and go through, then we can start to go through those other projects because we have precedent to be able to.
Okay, good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Scott, let's move on to the new business B, review of RRC recertification report and update redevelopment ready sites.
I provided you with the redevelopment ready recertification report and our RRC planner, and in there it identified a number of items that need to be addressed, one of those being the update of our redevelopment ready sites. You may recall from our master plan process, we identified 6 priority sites as redevelopment ready priorities.
Mm-hmm.
A number of those have been redeveloped, and or a number of gone into other use. This home here is identified as site number 4. That's been bought by an individual that's using it as a dwelling and also using it as a short-term rental unit. So I don't think there's any really opportunity for redevelopment there right now. The old Ray Acre site that's currently in process of being rebuilt. The Lally building, there are prospective developers looking at that site. So I think that's probably not a priority. I think that's in the, no, that's not the thing. Then there was the Potsdam lot was identified as one of the priority sites. This little building that over by this never kind of really got a user there. It's got its challenges. So you know, I'm not sure what a great priority there or opportunity is there. So, but still, I think need something. Then the caterer.
It's always used by the road to attempt to build a parking lot on the front street there.
Well, that's kind of the challenge. So it has no on-site parking, so they would need off-site parking. So you probably need some kind of user that really has a low demand for parking and you know that kind of a real niche for that office.
I think when it was being used as a real estate office, that was probably the best user for that particular place. But to redevelop it into something different, I think it's kind of got its challenges. So I think tonight we can begin looking at the process. Okay, what sites are there? I think we are charged with finding at least three priorities to give back to the state and develop kind of a robust marketing package that they can put on their sites and help market those properties. So, and the program is most focused on downtown redevelopment of existing sites, existing buildings. So, you know, we kind of have to focus in there. I think one that jumps out at me is the Parkside that's for sale now. I think that's probably something that we should identify as a priority site. And a couple others on that block, we got Country Now and Then that has been for sale, and I think, you know, they would be definitely willing to sell if the right offer came along. So potential redevelopment there. There's a couple of infill opportunities on either side of the Harbor House there. So I don't know if that's maybe some additional opportunities there in that line. So that's my observation. So it's just being brought to you for begin the discussion, and then we can identify what sites, and then once we get that, we can get those packages.
So infill or is also considered as part of redevelopment, right? Now what about those the sites that were on East Main, were they close to downtown that Mike was talking about? Or were they further away?
Residential housing.
Those were residential.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just, yep.
Well, what about the theater?
And that is always, I think, a priority site. Mm-hmm. But I think that's more in the hands of the owner. And the challenges they have with getting that site redeveloped. And so
sure.
I think the will is there, but the means are not.
All right. Are any buildings on Main Street?
Didn't this come up at a meeting not too long ago that the owner of the buildings just wasn't interested in anything with this?
With the theater?
No, on Main Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Across from Mark Patrick's place, and you know, down from Eyes on Main.
Yeah, that one right there. That has been identified. I know the property owner did contact my assistant a while back and seems amenable to perhaps, but I don't think there's been any conversation since. So it's definitely, you know, an opportunity. Yeah.
Sure. And then. Is Cindy Franco's selling, or is that still?
That's a good point.
Cindy Franco's, just a little bit.
Sorry,
turned. Yeah, that's a little.
Sorry, turned. Okay, just curious.
What was it? What is this
sold to? What for? I believe she's just going to use it as a house.
So is there?
I missed the wall.
There's still an issue out between the downtown car wash and Marathon there, or what is that?
That.
Marshall Lodge.
Right there in the
house or what? Mm-hmm.
That parcel is owned by the car wash owner. And last I understood, he has no desire to part with it. And I believe they'd like it to have it for snow storage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it would be a great redevelopment opportunity, but I don't know if you have a lot.
That's a whole lot right there would be awesome.
Yeah, and I think that was a discussion we had back when you started this initial process.
Yeah, I definitely think that Parkside Grill should be
for sure.
a part of this. And Country Now and Then, they're not going to be doing it forever.
No. And these two little houses here, I know they're hanging in there, but that's definitely an opportunity. That property, in my mind, is being underutilized, and it could be better used.
One's still H&R Block.
Yes.
H&R Block and the other.
Bird's Nest.
It's the Bird's Nest.
Yeah, it's a sanctuary massage or something now.
It's a massage place now.
Oh, it's not even Bird's Nest anymore?
No, is it?
No.
No, is it? I haven't been there. I'll let you.
Good Lord.
I think it'd be good to include the property there on Main as well. I know one of their acquired three, have one in a different part of town.
Does it have to be an existing structure or just a space?
No, just a space.
Because there's a, didn't there used to be a house by Twin Flood?
Floyd and Todd, right?
Floyd and Todd, right, that they used to burn down or something? Like
it was demolished, it was.
Or is that TRD?
Dangerous structure, it was demolished by the city.
So yeah, I apologize, I interrupted you.
That would be a great opportunity there too.
Is that even the business district or?
Yeah, it's in the commercial, the CBD. But again, you have probably an unwilling property owner. No, he does prices right. I know they've had offers and never sold.
That's so bizarre. Well, we also got right across the street here, you got Jim White's project of making a community center.
Yeah, right next to Rogers.
Two residential homes. Yeah. And then a dental office that that whole block. Well, I assume that's going to go back to being some kind of office building. The dental office once the new construction is complete.
But yeah, in the master plan and the waterfront master plan and pretty much every plan document, this talks for redevelopment of Lake Street.
Sure.
So kind of a migration of downtown this way, basically.
Is that the Huntington building?
Just next to
it. Yeah.
Huntington's a little further.
Hunter's down, yes.
Oh, down there.
That's Huntington. There's Huntington with the white roof.
So that's Huntington.
And there's Lally's next to it.
Yeah.
What about John McClory's place on State Street?
That may be part of a package.
The bike fix, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bike fix, yeah.
This looks cute building.
You said that might be part of what?
It might be part of the redevelopment package that's being explored right now.
Okay. Along with the bank.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Is the further up when we're talking about the dentist office that is there, is that there's nothing going on with that as of right now?
No.
Is there a vacant lot in there, Scott? I know one of those houses is Summer Tree, isn't it?
Yeah.
Summer Trees, they're off.
Yeah, that's Cal Deming's is the white roof,
right.
And then Summer Tree is the brown one.
Right on a lot line.
Well, those lines are not represented.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, wow.
No, those are drawn by the county. So.
Gotcha.
They can be up to 30 feet off.
It's a representation.
Yes. All right. So as a group, we need to kind of narrow it down to three properties.
Is it only one of three?
Well, I think three is a great place to start, that we can start developing packages on that. But if you want to have a longer list to update the master plan as part of that process,
we'll do
that.
I think Parkside's a huge contender on that list. It is such a shame to see that property just sit there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not being utilized. Won't you buy it? If that was the case, I'd have bought my wife her own restaurant.
So Parkside.
I think all of the above would be a list to start with, and then you administratively figure out which ones fit. Well, Parkside should be one. I think that community, that the old Knights of Columbus building, or the Mason building, that should be a big one too, because that's just sat there like that forever.
That may help if we put that on the redevelopment
list. Yes.
So maybe
right next to
push the property over forward.
Is that Jim's
looking at?
I don't know. Does Jim actually?
Yes.
He does.
I like that idea. Yeah, the old Point City Mason's building, I think you should put on this list.
Okay.
As it'll, you said, it may nudge someone in the right direction.
But it's only going to get worse, because once they develop the property next door and rebuild, I mean, it's going to make it even a little more blighted. Well, you know, at least, I mean, I'm not trying to be like that, but it was Robert Shrestrop saying it before. Now you've got this brand new, I assume, from what we saw, really attractive building sitting there. You know, that right next door, so.
Well, just to fill it, Jason, you asked me, it's, Jim White bought that through turned it into a nonprofit organization for ownership, and they want to create a youth center of some type. But that was 5, 6, 7 years ago, and nothing has happened. And he's been told many times by many different people that your concept may be outdated, and that it's going to take $300,000 to $500,000 to turn that into a legitimate building, plus your monthly upkeep, plus your monthly staff. At this point, he hasn't moved from his dream.
And I did give the developers that were talking about Robert's reinvestment when they came in, their contact information, and they did reach out to them to see if they'd be interested, and there was no interest.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But he's
sponsored some concerts every year.
Yeah.
At the school, fundraising concerts.
For what?
To raise some money.
Yeah.
To raise some money from a lot of people.
Yeah. So we're talking about Country Now, and then we're talking about Park Street, or Parkside Grove, the Masonic Building, the one building on Main Street.
What's Glenn Cat going to do with the old
Sportsman's?
He's going to remodel Sportsman with the building he tore down next door.
Little Lena's.
Is he? That's
never good.
I've never been that close to that when that goes up.
There's already a gas station there, so that's what's a lot of the time it stops people from continuing down or up Lake Street, but...
I would, yeah, yeah.
I mean, but taking away parking.
Is that... That one's really not used a ton.
I agree, yes.
And you do have parking to the other direction, to the east, which is on a street that's somewhat underutilized, versus the old Foxman, which seems to be enough of, is used quite heavily.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, very little used. And you say the soils are a little bit dirty, perhaps?
Unstable.
Oh.
Unsuitable.
Okay, contaminants.
I don't, no, they're not contaminants, it's not good for bearing weight.
Well, it's gonna be filled in along the river and...
So...
Well, we do have...
But I like what Aaron said about that, the old remix parking lot.
And there's such a hole across the street from the east streetscape.
It's a hole in the street.
Yeah, you're right, and if there's parking across the street now, I think since the Nina's is gone and that, and the 7 months thing, there's extra parking there than there needs to be.
The main thing is that that would be taking away parking from an existing structure.
There's several offices there too, you know.
There's like four offices in that.
Correct, correct, and at Southern Side.
But I don't think that's a deterrent, I think it's a good idea to start putting some of this stuff out there.
And what we do have to use as a tool is our brand new parking study. And, you know, there's a lot of data in there that's going to support redevelopment, because it pointed out that we don't have a parking problem, we just have to manage what we do have better. And that's a tool that we throw at as a developer, you know.
Exactly. What about replacing the Foxman lot with that instead, taking the Foxman lot off, or just because it's not really suitable for building?
Oh, I think it's an important thing to have.
The parking?
Yeah. I think the use that it has right now is probably the best use.
Do you want to find a developer to put in a better parking lot? Is it?
No, I'm not sure how you can make it even any more parking than what it is, but that gets used a lot. I mean, for people that come into town to work, they all park over there, they all work at their restaurants and everything, which leaves the street side parking open for visitors.
Yeah. They do it, yeah, it's very
I think that's a very important parking lot.
Yeah, it is an important parking lot, but just look at this picture. All that parking that's unused, right there and there. So it is feasible to displace that parking and move it about 100 feet.
I guess.
And you could build it.
Oh, on river?
Mm-hmm. Or utilize half the parking lot, maybe the rest of that is parking.
Or develop, you know, some kind of parking structure.
Well, structure could be, if the land would support it.
Well, that's it, So, Scott, you're saying leave it on the list?
No, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Oh, gotcha.
There is a whole lot of room at the rim of street side parking. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Is there any other properties anyone would like to see? Okay. I think that's pretty good.
Excellent.
Scott,
thank you very much.
We will identify the priorities and we will develop those packets and get them to the state. And hopefully we'll get this recertification process done relatively quickly and get our certification. Was there anything else in the recertification packet that does need to change other than that?
No, there was some updates, the marketing strategy, that specifically the Main Street.
Okay.
I work on that. There was a lot of things that were already accomplished in our development guide, and that were pointed out to our RCC plan, and I believe that will be fine. And then there was the one more thing that was not quite sure how to attack. It is on 3.18 of their list, and it says community annual review success and challenges with development review process.
And the proposed action is to demonstrate how customer feedback is obtained, measured, and changes implemented. So I guess, from your standpoint, what issues do you see with the development plan review process? And where can we be more responsive to customers? I think we're pretty good.
Well, considering that we're taking things off of our board because they're actually being done now.
And, you know, from my interactions with developers, I haven't really heard any real complaints about the process or, you know, I think we treat people quickly and fairly and equally and responsibly. So I mean, how do we get customer feedback on what issues we have and how do we implement those? I don't know.
It's really hard. Well, could we just do a survey? Every company in the world seems to today that anytime you 5 minutes after you do a transaction, they're asking you for a survey for satisfaction. But I mean, is there some way to do a
that's an idea. After the
satisfaction,
yeah, some kind of document that's sent out to the developers after the process, and so, you know, how we get that.
To me, this would seem more pertinent if you were receiving complaints.
Well, yeah.
You know, how do you address the issues that people are having?
You know, and we have availability for people to interact with the city through a variety of mediums. You know, they can call, they can walk in, they can go online, they can talk to anybody that they want. They can reach out to commissioners, they can reach out to staff. So, you know, we're very open, and we hear that and react to it. But, you know, any other ways we can do it, you know, I'm all for it.
Does anyone else have any questions? Let's move on to staff report.
Don't have anything right now. I'll expect this all I forgot.
Hey, Scott. At one point we were talking about short-term rentals, and were you doing a study or were you just going over the data?
Well, as part of the City Commission goals that have been drafted, they have been identified as specific action items and responsible parties for those. I expect that to happen very quickly. And once that happens, that will come to the Planning Commission for what duties were identified in that. And one of those goals was to identify the impact of short-term rentals. So far, I have basically accumulated an inventory of the ones I have found. And so we can look at what those are and what they are and how do they, you know, operate and what do they do. And also I think we need to quantify, okay, what's their impact.
Right.
So if we have X number of guests staying at X number of rentals for X number of days, what is the economic impact on that? And what is the effect of taking those houses? You know, if they are houses, there are more than just houses being used for short-term rental. Taking them out of the inventory for single family or, you know, working, mm-hmm. you know, what's the trade-off? What's the impact? So I think that analysis needs to be done before we can move forward with, okay, what do you do about it?
Sure. And you had mentioned that the state government is looking at something to kind of make that not even a possibility.
Right. And I believe that is not going to happen now, given the lame duck session's over.
Yeah.
And that legislation was not passed, so I don't think there's any initiative now to
perfectly
move forward. So it kind of gives us an idea, yeah, if you want to do something, you'd be able to do that.
Awesome. Okay. So we'll probably be seeing that in 3 months?
Well, once we get the entire goals of all the action items,
sure.
I think the Planning Commission needs to go through and identify, okay, what actions can we take? Because there's a number of things that the Planning Commission is going to be responsible for.
Okay. Isn't one of those things that relooking at the master plan?
That's one.
Yeah, that process.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Scott.
Yep.
For the good of the order,
everyone doing okay? Everyone healthy?
Okay. All right. Oh, I had one thing.
Sure.
I was down in Texas. For the holidays, and they've got some big parks down there too. And it reminded me of they use just metal, pipes, just pipe to block off areas from pedestrian and motorized. So it's open visually. It reminded me of Rotary Park with the gentleman that came in and made a presentation to put something down to prevent parking, to prevent the vehicle from coming in. And I don't know if they've gone through that. I don't remember seeing anything done over there. But if they consider something that's like that, that isn't visually, it allows dogs and pets and people, little kids, to walk through, but it keeps.
Well, so is it almost like a split rail fence except with a pipe?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're actually looking at something right now, because they were going to donate poles and use those, and those really didn't look that good.
No.
So I think they're exploring other opportunities.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to throw that out there. Sure. Did you kind of see, because it seemed to be maybe a 30-foot wall.
Is it slats and a wall?
Oh, yeah, all right. I thought the screen had a strong suit.
All right. Any motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
A motion. Second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
All right. Thanks.